Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you. Thank you, Lord, that as we come together and your presence is with us, Lord, you just minister to us life, healing, deliverance, everything that we need. And we just acknowledge, Lord, all the good things you have done, and we come to your word, which is the source for us to receive, to hear from you, to get direction, Lord, and to be transformed into the image of your Son. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, I'm going to continue on the way that God ministered to us, eternal life. See, this is often, it's a concept that's difficult to get, this business about eternal life. It's not just a question of going to heaven once we have going up there. It's much more than that. Eternal life is right now, right here. If you don't have it here, you cannot bring it up there. So we need to understand that. And really, life is one of the topics that nobody can define. No scientists, no studies, they can figure out why it works the way it works. Doesn't matter what they say. And it's just not something that happened, poof, because sometime a spark was happened somewhere. This is something that is fixed, determined, planned, and is really coming directly from God. And this is a thing you have to really understand and understand the way it works. And we need revelation from the Holy Spirit to be able to get anywhere in this area. Because you can get any place in which you can explain it to you. Doesn't matter how much they write about it, you know, just rhetoric. And rhetoric remain rhetorics. There is no power. In life, there is power. That's the difference. It's a big difference when somebody is dead and somebody is alive. Okay? Doesn't need much explanation. Anybody could figure that out. All right? But they can figure out only up to a certain point. They can say, yes, this is alive and this is dead. But how and why and what, it's very, you can say all the parts and all the function in the body are working. Yeah, well, why? That's the thing. And we're supposed to, you know, anybody that is not born from the Holy Spirit, born or I, born again, supposed to be dead. The walking dead. That's the way you're going around. They think they're alive, but they're dead. The people that are born again are alive. That's what the word says. And there should be some major difference in us. Evidently, it's not the same thing as what, you know, life and death, the way we generally use to the terms. But, you know, we have to understand the reality of the spiritual dimension. See, the spiritual dimension is the source of life. And this is why you cannot scientifically determine what it is. Because science cannot enter the spiritual dimension. The only thing you have to do is read John chapter 3. I'm getting off completely the topic I was preparing for today, but that's fine. You know, John chapter 3, verse 1 to 21. Okay. Jesus meets with Nicodemus, one of the leaders of the religious people in those days, or the Jews. And he has tried to explain things about the spiritual dimension. And goes in quite in detail in all the first 21 verses. They described in detail probably one of the most summarized and concise description of the spiritual dimension that you can get anywhere in the Bible. And he was talking to one of the leaders to try to communicate, and the guy didn't understand anything. And then Jesus said, you know, how can, if I talk you about earthly things, you cannot figure it out. Can you imagine if I start talking about heavenly things? You have no idea. And so, you know, but it's interesting how, you know, all the Gospel of John is so much oriented toward the spiritual dimension, in opposition to all the other three Gospels. The Synoptic Gospels are more talking about things down here and manifestation of the spiritual dimension. But the Gospel actually of John focuses exactly only on that and drops most of the other part. It's fascinating. There is so much revelation about that that go to it. I'm going to spend some time on it anyway. I'm going to go back to what I was preparing for today. Praise the Lord. See, I want to really enter, you know, in Jesus said, let's go back there, John 10:10. Okay. The thieves does not come up to steal and kill and destroy. I came to, you know, that they may have life, they include us, that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. Okay. Evidently, he's not talking about, he's talking about your spiritual dimension, he's talking about the spiritual life that you have. Okay. He's not talking about physical things, he's not talking about abundant life, you know, that we have $1 million in the bank or whatever. He's not talking about physical things at all. Now, sometimes there is a corresponding manifestation in the physical, but that's not the issue. Okay. Here he's talking about, spiritual life, that they may have spiritual life more abundantly. Okay, that involves so many different things. The Bible talks about them, we're going to see them. Okay, involve, things that actually are heavenly things. That they change the physical. Because they have an impact on the physical things. But involves, it's not just going to heaven. Jesus didn't come on earth just so that we go to heaven when we die physically. He came to give us life abundantly. Not just when we go up there, but even when we are down here. If we don't get it here, we are not going to have it there. Because this is a transition time that we are here to prepare for what comes after. But the life involves peace, shalom, strength, healing, and everything, and forgiveness, everything that God has done for us. Those are the things that are heavenly things, not earthly things. Now, when you have peace, when you have healing, you also have physical things too in corresponding. But the focus is not on the physical. Because otherwise we lose the contact, we lose the connection. Okay? So this is really the things that we had to do. The abundant life is now. And if we go, for example, in 2 Peter chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 2, says there, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Okay? So grace and peace, those are the two things, those are fruit of the Spirit. Okay, there is grace there that actually is something that, is charis, well, actually has to do with, something that is a gift to us. The gift is really empowerment, enablement to do things that we otherwise cannot do. Okay? So, and peace. Peace has to do everything, you know, the word corresponded to the you know, Hebrew shalom, which actually means everything, deliverance, well-being, everything that you can need, you know, that you need. It's all there included into that. Okay? So that is what, you know, and, you know, that is important to understand, okay? That peace is something that is always connected with our trust in God. When you trust God, you have peace. When you trust God, you have, you know, faith in Him. Faith that He's going to take care of you, that He's going to look after you and everything else. You know, there was one thing that Jesus rebuked His apostles more and more, or disciples more and more, is because they didn't have little faith. They had little faith. They weren't faith. They were just so concerned about the physical things. You remember, you know, when there was the storm and He was sleeping in the boat. I mean, that they were just scared stiff. They were just frantic. They woke Him up. I mean, it was noisy. It was, you know, the boat was shaking. It was moving all over the place. I mean, He must have been really ever sleeping hard. Huh? And they had to shake Him up to tell Him, you know, don't you care about that we are going to all to drown? And what did He do? Almost said, you know, leave me, Jesus. Take a nap here. Let me sleep. No. He said, oh, you have little faith. What's wrong with you guys? I mean, that's a completely different attitude, respect the situation and the circumstance that they were in. Okay. This is the things that He actually rebuked His disciples most of the time. It's a question of, you know, not having enough faith. And faith, you know, especially today, is considered so much in as a, something that, you know, we use to get something from God, and which is true in a way. But actually, okay, the word, let's go there. The word there, pistis, comes from another word in Greek. Okay, it actually means trust. It's not just believing for something, believing something. Okay. It's trusting God. See, when you trust God, you have faith, the faith, all the faith that you need to get the result that you need, to take care of you. See, that's the bottom line. This is what He completely had in His relationship with the Father. He had complete trust and complete confidence that the Father was going to look after him and take care of him and direct him and do everything that needed to be done for his situation. So when there was a storm, the Father is taking care. And when you know, there was need to stop the storm, He just quiet down. You know, actually, the word there, be still, you know, be quiet. There is some people that, you know, that means that the translation, or really the accurate translation of the Greek thing, is actually be quiet. Not screaming and yelling and shouting. He just says, shh. And the thing quiet down, and the disciples said, who is this guy? It was a completely different, see, it's a question of a different perspective, a different evaluation, different judgment about what's going on around you. Okay. I'm mixing this with the stuff I'm working, preparing, fixing my book. Anyway, that's fine. We'll get there. But what I'm saying to you, okay, that this is the grace and peace of God are going to be operating in us. As we are connecting with Him. Jesus was connected with the Father, and that was bringing about that He was not touched by any of the things that are going on, without it wasn't having any effect whatsoever, at least, you know, for just about all His ministry. We're going to see that later on. But the idea is that, you know, this is the result when we have faith, when we have trust in the Father, then we are going to have grace and peace. And grace is nothing else than the enablement to deal with whatever situation we are in. We don't deserve it, but that's the amazing part, because, you know, we do not deserve anything, but God is giving it to us out of His decision, not because we deserved it. And so that should make us appreciate even more what we are getting. Now, let me continue. Okay. So, grace and me multiply unto you, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The knowledge there is epignosko, or epignosis, which actually means, you know, that to full understanding, full knowledge, full, you know, perception of God. Understanding the way God works. Understanding what God is like. Okay. And the Lord Jesus. Okay, same thing. So the idea is, how do we get that? How can we get that full knowledge? That means, you know, it's not a superficial knowledge. It's an in-depth knowledge. It's a full understanding, a full discernment of the spiritual dimension. Often the Bible doesn't talk about the spiritual dimension, but that's really what it is in modern terms. Okay, it's talking about heaven, which is really part of the spiritual dimension. I mean, you know, God is a spirit, and so, you know, He's in the spiritual dimension, and He's part of it. Evidently, there are other parts. He talks about the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness are all inside there. They are manifestation down here. See, there is a dual existence or dual reality. There is a physical reality that we can see, touch, and, you know, contact with our senses, with our body. And there's a spiritual reality that we can contact with our spirit, because we are spirit. And God is the Father of spirits. Okay. So the idea that we have here is the fact that there is those two dimensions, and they are coexistent. And it's not one is up there and one is down there. You know, they are so integrated together. You are living in two dimensions, not in one dimension only, but you are so trained about just living in this world that you think that's the only thing that's real. The other things is, who knows? In reality, the other dimension is completely even more real than the physical one. Because the physical one comes as a result of the spiritual one, was created by God, who is a spirit, and was, you know, became a reality according to His creation, according to the fact that He created it. I wasn't there before. So this is really the thing, that we are actually living on both at the same time. Even if we often do not realize that. And this is what, when being born again, should make all the difference. Because when we are born again, we should be able to start not only perceiving and seeing, John 3, 5. Entering the kingdom of God. So that means that we are going to be able to operate at that level. I didn't say that. Jesus said that to Nicodemus. He was trying to explain to him spiritual dimension, you know, without using different terminology, talking about the kingdom of God, but that doesn't matter. That's what he was talking about. Are you following what I'm saying? He was telling that we can, you know, to be able to see there, our eyes have to be open. If our eyes have to be open, okay, well, how would that happen? We have to be born from the spiritual dimension, from on high. Born again, the word again there, it should be on high, from above. So, you know, it is not just as above, it's just that it's all over the place, but the point is, you know, often that's the way we operate, and there is some other reason because I said that way, but the idea is that from the spiritual dimension, we have to be born. When we are born from that dimension, then we are going to be able to start perceiving things that we didn't see, and didn't know they existed before. Once we start knowing that we existed and we start having experience, we can even enter. That means we start functioning into that space. When we pray, we should be moving in the spirit because that's where that is working, is not the physical thing. God expects us to worship, that means to connect with him in spirit and in truth. Just doing the whole physical story doesn't do it because it's just physical. It's not even just mental. We have to connect with our spirit. Okay. Now, that is where life is. God is the source of life. God put his breath into Adam to make him a living being. Translated soul, but actually, you know, it's really more than just living soul, it's living spirit because his spirit was living. The life is in the spirit. The real life. Now, continue here. So, you know, how do we get that information? How do we get that knowledge? How do you get that knowledge that the hypogenosko of God and the Lord Jesus Christ? There's only one place for us. It's the Word of God. We have to go to the Word, and from the Word we are going to deduce, derive, obtain that kind of an information about what the dimension in which God operates, because this is really God communicating to us about spiritual things. Did they have an impact on the physical world? Because that is to regulate our behavior. Are you following what I'm saying? And then goes on, says, 2 Peter 1:3 says, in his divine power has given to us, he's talking to believers here. Okay? So he's talking to believers, and he's talking about the fact that, you know, grace and peace is, you know, and we obtain, multiplied to us by the knowledge of God. Okay? And his divine power has given to us, past tense, so we already, if you are a believer, we have already that. We don't need to go and ask for God to do it for us. So he's given to us what? All things that pertains to life and godliness. So we already are equipped. We have provided, everything has been provided for us already. We don't need to go and ask God, you know, do things. You know, he has given us, the only thing that we have to do is to receive it. And how do we receive it? To the thing that said, epignosko, by discernment, by recognition, by the determining what we already have so that we can take it by faith. By believing it. By trusting him. By trusting what? Trusting what he said. Trusting his word. Are you following me? This is so important. See, that makes the difference between begging God all the time about things and starting to move in the dimension that God wants us to move. We can develop and become strong in Him, the way Him, just imitating what Jesus did, because He came to show us how to do it. And so, you know, everything that came after is just people starting to understand and apply it. But He Himself essentially said everything that needed to be said in John chapter 3, 1 to 21. He summarized all there. And you can meditate on that until you get it. Because that's going to make the difference. See, you cannot do it through word analysis. Sometimes you can get even make some progress with analysis of word. But by itself, you can end up being completely, I see that often all the time, the people take words, start expanding them, start, you know, changing, and they come up with conclusions that are completely contrary to what the word is saying in that particular scripture, because they apply it, you know, words are used, you know, in a way that is flexible. It's adjust to the context. If you don't take things in the context, you're going to be confused and you're going to come up to the wrong conclusion. You always have to take things in the context, and it's going to guide you the way you interpret those words. And here it's pretty clear. Okay, what I'm saying to you is that, you know, His divine power, God's power, has given to us this grace and peace, that they're actually spiritual things. Both grace and peace are spiritual gifts, fruits of the Spirit. Okay. And, you know, and with, you know, His divine power has given to you this, all things that pertain to life and godliness. That means, you know, life is the Zoe, which actually is the life of God. That part in which, you know, is actually connected with the Holy Spirit power, the supernatural power of God that gives life to things that have no life. Okay? This is provided for us, given to us, past tense, we have it already. Pertaining to life and godliness, that godliness is going to be, you call it holiness, which is actually separation from the worldly things. Separation from the physical things that are, you know, blind, they cannot see, and are influenced by other things, stuff that we're not going to have the time to talk about today. But the idea is that this life is working already in us, you know, through the knowledge of Him who called us to glory and virtue. So, you know, if we can see the knowledge of the Father, the knowledge of Jesus, operating in us, which is reflected from the word, in the Word of God. And we, when you start receiving that, you know, opened and illuminated by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was the one that actually inspired the writer to write what they wrote. And for us to be able to grasp what they're saying, we need the same connection that they had to be able to find the truth. And you're going to find out that you're going to know some stuff better than all the people that did book and wrote stuff in the past, because the Holy Spirit is working today in a way that wasn't working before. And He's correcting ideas and concepts that are coming out. And, you know, and sometimes they even get some truth by the analysis. It's interesting, but you can get stuff before you look at the analysis. You're supposed to come in contact with, you know, the Holy Spirit and with the spiritual dimension to be able to see in it. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. You're going to be able to see in the spiritual dimension. You'll be able to get in there and operate in that level, the way Jesus was operating. If you read verse 13, it says, you know, the one who came down from heaven, you know, the Son of Man who came down from heaven, you know, and He's going to go back to heaven, that He's in heaven right then and right now. That's amazing. So He was telling him, I'm operating down here, I'm staying on earth here in the moment, but at the same time, I'm up there too. And sometime, which is already past, we can too. Now, I didn't take that, those scriptures, but I know those scriptures, so I can quote them to you. You know, just go and look at them. But what I'm saying to you, okay, that has provided for us all things for life and godliness, for life and separation, for holiness, so that we can walk holy, separated from the world, in victory over the world, instead of being bound by the limitation and the problem that the world surrounds us. We can overcome because He's given us the grace. That means, you know, the empowerment to be able to deal with the situation. God doesn't call you to do something. He doesn't equip you for it. He's smart enough to know that. Okay, what He calls you, He equips you for. Amen. And so if He equips you to for, but you have a part you play. If you don't know what He equips you with, if you don't know what He wants you to do, if you don't know His mind and His spirit, how are you going to be able to do these things? You have to have that knowledge that you get from the Word, the same way as Jesus did. He was the Word made flesh. He was operating like we operate. He learned to walk and grow in stature and wisdom. How? Through the Word, from when He was a baby to when He went to Gethsemane. And He continued to grow all His ministry. Scriptures show clearly that. He said that, not myself. Okay, now, we want to, you know, understand that and be able to get into that space. Okay, how we do that? Okay, well, you know, if you haven't got already what I said, let's go follow the following verse, and it's going to tell you even more. Verse 4, by which, okay, has called us to glory, by which have been given to us, what? Exceedingly great and precious promises. So you see, the promises of God, as is, you know, what God promises, the things He has given us. He has done it already. The only thing you have to do, you see, this is done in the spiritual dimension, the promises are fulfilled already. They may not be fulfilled in the physical, but because we have a part we play in receiving the promises, which is taking them by faith. So they're being given us, so if they're given, they're given. I mean, it doesn't have to do anything else anymore. Okay? So they're being given us these great and precious promises. Then through these, when we partake of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So you see, the promises, we had to know the promises. If you don't know where is the promise, the promises are in the Word. Again, you know, that's what the Word is. The Word is just the direction, the promises, the information, the things that we need to know to be able to walk and understand the spiritual dimension and what God wants and the way God operates. Okay, so all these things are provided there. Okay, have been given to us already, so that we may be partaking of the divine nature. And what does it mean to be partaker of the divine nature? If you have a divine nature, then we are going to be operating the way God operates. Okay, if you have the divine nature, that means, you know, we are going to have divine nature attributes. What are the divine nature attributes? The fruit of the Spirit. See, the fruit of the Spirit is the natural outcome of the Spirit that is connected with God's Spirit inside us, you know, the vine and the branches, you know, so that, the, you know, the Spirit manifestation is in the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, faith, and all the other patience. You can add them up all together there. Okay? So there's going to be manifesting in us these divine nature attributes. DNA. That is our spiritual DNA. Are all the characteristics that God has, this is, you know, all the fruit of the Spirit is nothing else than God's attributes. At characteristics of the Spirit inside us, if the Spirit is inside us, it's going to be manifested and it's going to be evidenced by the operation and the appearance in the physical of these things, even in our physical body and your behavior. Are you following what I'm saying? So God is trying to manifest himself through us by giving us this grace, empowerment, to be able to function on a spiritual level that we otherwise, the normal, natural man cannot do, because they don't have the Spirit as we do. And that Spirit is operating in us to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, and so we can know when you see, it's not effort to have the love of God operating in you. It's not effort to have patience when there are situations. It's not effort to have faith for believing things. You know, if you are trying too hard to get things from God, to use your faith, that means that you are operating in yourself and it's not the Spirit of God operating in you. And so, you know, it's not effortless transformation the way we should experience. Now, before we get into that place and we have mental information about something that we should manifest, and we don't, and we find it really hard and difficult, the reason is because we just got information, but we don't have the Spirit inside us to be able to manifest it, because there are changes inside us that block that manifestation. And the block is in the heart that blocks, you know, that is the gatekeeper that blocks our spirit to be able to fully manifest it in our life. Are you following what I'm saying? See, God is all powerful. Okay, if you are born from I, that means you are born from the Father. So that means that you are connected with him. You have his Spirit coming in. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know, all things are of God. But when you got all things are of God, are all things, all spiritual things are of God. Your body is exactly the same way as you were before. Your mind is exactly the same way as before. You have to change your thinking to line up with the Word of God so that you are going to be informed with the whole epignosko of the knowledge of Christ and the knowledge of God. Are you following me? Or did I lose you? I mean, that's what makes the difference. See, I'm going to take my time because, you know, these things are difficult to get through. They are difficult for us to embrace. We have to change the way we think. And we don't like to change. Our mind doesn't like us to change the way it thinks because it wants to control. Well, it's not your mind that should control you. It's your spirit. Because you are a spirit being with the Spirit of God inside you, and the Spirit of God wants to start operating in you to control you and direct your life. But that is where, you know, the little brat heart, you know, wants to go his own way and drag his feet and doesn't really goes along because, you know, he knows better. That's the way it is down here. Well, down here is changed because things that are earthly, things that are down here are temporary. Things that are heavenly, they are eternal and they are unchangeable. So, you know, sooner or later, you have to line up with those. The sooner, the better. Okay, so we need to be willing to cooperate instead of dragging our feet to change the way we think. And, you know, it's not easy for our mind to even grasp some of this idea. When it talks about eternal life, it's difficult even to know what you're talking about. Because it's nothing to do with what the word themselves we interpret. There is so much more. And we need actual spiritual revelation from the Holy Spirit to grasp a bit at a time. Otherwise, we should be able, you know, if we grasp completely, we walk like Jesus. Now, the more we have that epignosco, the more we have that knowledge of Him, the more we are going to be able to walk like Him. And this is God's plan for each believer. It's not a question of, you know, I like you and I don't like the other person. You know, it's up to us. Depend on what we are willing to listen and to accept and to start taking by faith. Faith is lambano, you know, that we have to exercise. Actually, you have to take it, but you cannot take what you don't know that you have to take. So you need to know. You need to. That's where the word comes into the picture. That's why, you know, the word is what gives us everything that we need for life and godliness. That's what he's talking about there. That's why the knowledge is important. This is why Jesus said, okay, in John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. That's the background. And then explain, the word that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So you see, don't go according to your own thinking. Go according to the word that I give you, which actually are all the word in the scripture, because Jesus was just the manifestation of the word made flesh. So the idea is that is the spirit that gives life. You want life inside with all the implications of that? Well, you had to go to the word, because that's where that you find the life. That's the word is encapsulating, in, you know, communicating to you all the information you need by revelation that you can incorporate in your life and manifest as life, which is much more than going just to heaven. Amen? Okay. So, Jesus' words give us life. Okay? And that's the way we had to learn to go and receive the word. You know, that's where the empowerment comes. That's where the grace I was talking about before comes. The grace comes as we know what we can have, because of the gracious promises that we have been talking about. The promises show us exactly what we can expect, what we should experience. And then when, you know, we have to allow those, that reality, to, from theory, from our own thinking, become reality in our life. Not by effort, not by the law. The law didn't work in the Old Testament, is not going to work in the New Testament. Because you cannot do it by command you to do. You do it because of transference of spirit from the word to you as you incorporate, embrace, receive, and understanding revelation. Paul prayers. He never prayed for people for power. He never prayed, Lord, do this or that for me. No. When he did it, he messed it up. He prayed, Lord, I pray that they may receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation that they may know. We need to know to get. If we don't know, we cannot get what we don't know. How can you get it? So the only way is that you know what you should be getting, and then, you know, you start opening up and you start seeking for the truth, start seeking for knowledge. As you get the knowledge concerning those things, then you're going to get experience that more and more. and you are going to be, you know, living in that new dimension that is a spiritual dimension that brings into the physical dimension because it's inside you already. Because the Spirit in you knows all things of God. Your mind get only the things that, you know, your heart allows to be filtered through. Because the heart judges what is it believes and what doesn't believe. See, there is filters everything out. The good stuff, you know, the children of Israel, what did they do? They limited the Holy One of Israel. The God, you know, God was doing such big miracles around the place that, you know, all things were possible. But they couldn't grasp it. They were complaining because they had manna instead of chicken. Or quails, whatever, it doesn't matter. Same volatile. Okay, are you following what I'm saying? See, we limit God even today. I mean, Christians limit God all the time. Otherwise, they would walk all healthy, strong, healed, blessed, and everything else. And that's not really what's happening, and most of them are defeated. Why? Because they are not knowing what God has done for them. And that's not God's plan for each one of us. God doesn't make any difference for where you're coming from, what, you know, he just, you are a living being, and he loves you, and hope that you are going to catch up with what he's planning to do, and this is why he gave you and me the promises, so that we know what to expect. And when we know what to expect, then we have to seek what? God, give me the things already given to you? Are given to us. No, it's not given to me. Give me revelation and understanding so that I know how to get them. See, that's what Paul prayed for the Ephesians, chapter 1 and chapter 2. Okay, that you may have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. This is why James chapter 1, you know, verse 7 and so on, you know, that you need wisdom, ask God. And he will give you liberally. So that means, you know, he's not stingy, he's not trying to, you know, everybody sees God as a stingy guy that is actually trying to take away stuff from you. It's the opposite. He wants to give you more than you can expect. But generally, you know, people want to get the stuff that is not important, when instead, you know, they don't really care about the stuff they should be really, they should be going after. This is why I said, you know, set your mind on things above, not on things below. Okay? Because when we set things on mind on things above, then we are going to get results. Instead of getting stuck, because we are looking for the wrong thing. Are you following me? So this is really so important, okay? And this is why we had to learn one basic principle, okay? Okay. First of all, I already said it, okay? Through the promises. So you better learn the promises. You better have them very clear in your mind. You know, and if you say, well, the old Bible is all the promises. Say, yes, I agree with you, but you don't need to know the old Bible by heart. You don't need all the Bible by heart. You just need, you know, Psalm 103, Psalm 91, Psalm 23, Psalm 1. You know, if you put those few verses that, you know, that anybody can memorize, if I can memorize, you can memorize, because I'm not such a great memorization person. I always detested memorizing stuff. Remember when I was in high school and I had to learn poetry and memorize, was the worst, you know, like pain in the everywhere. Okay? That's the thing. But those things, yes, they have all the information that you need to fall back whenever you don't know what's coming next. Are you following me? Okay, so, you know, the thing, just take them down there, you know, and just those are all the Psalms, you know. 103, 91, 23, 1. There it is, phone number. Upstairs, you know where to call. All right? Now, so this is really, and what you have to do is nothing else. Look what Jesus did in John 8, 32, 31 and 32. That says, you know, if you abide in my word, then my word, you are my disciple indeed. Okay. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. See, this is a promise. I mean, this is not just, you know, that's a very clear, sharp promise to you. Okay? So, you stay in the Word. And you, how much you have to do? As much as you need. You know, Psalm 1 says very clearly, you know, that he, you know, meditated in the Word day and night. Now, that doesn't mean that you are there, you know, with crossed legs and, you know, do many. No, you can go around, you know, drive your car. You can cook the supper for a family. You can, you know, wash the dishes. You can do whatever you're doing. And you can, instead of being there looking, you know, what you're doing, washing the dishes, you care about looking at the dishes so much. You can be there thinking about the things you meditate on. That's what makes a difference. You have to learn to do that as the, you know, it says, you know, pray without ceasing. He's not there begging, you know, and making all the list of the things, of all the things that you need. No, you know, you are connecting with God all the time. You are connected with Him. He is just filling you up so that your mind and your heart is modified and you can receive. Instead of limiting God, you start believing the promises, you start accepting the promises, you start appropriating the promises, they're going to be yours. And when you don't feel too good about it, that's time that you have been too far away for too long time and you have to go back there. That is very simple. I mean, your emotions, when they are negative, when they are not the direction that they should be taking, when they are not making you feel okay, is because you are doing the wrong thing, you are thinking the wrong stuff, and you have to change what you're thinking. Casting down imagination and AI things that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. You just had to apply that all the time, when you need it, which is most of the time anyway. See, that's what we have to understand. We have to understand that we go to the Word not to be religious. We go to the Word because that's the source of life for us. That's what gives us victory. That's what gives us life. That's what gives us the ability to overcome the situation we are in. Otherwise, we don't know what to do. And the world is spinning their wheels trying to do things, and they get nowhere. But you start applying these principles, and you start seeing that all the problems, all the obstacles, all the other things, you can control other people, but you can control yourself. And you're going to control your destiny. Psalm 1 says, you know, you do that, and everything you do shall, amen, prosper. So that's what we had to learn to do. And he's not prosper, he's going to go around, you know, wasting money with yachts and stuff like that. No, you spiritually are going to prosper. That means you're going to have abundant life, which is in a spiritual dimension, you know, all the promises are going to be materialized. Praise the Lord. This is why I say, you know, with God, our success is effortless success. It's not sweaty. Adam, before he fell, he didn't have to sweat to get results. The sweat of our brows came as a result of the curse. Before, Adam had all the equipment, all the provision that he had to do not to go sweating. And he looked after the whole garden. Certainly he wasn't digging. Hello? Doesn't say that he had shovels and caterpillars and other things, you know, to be able to dig the ground and to do the things. And, you know, doesn't say any of that. God didn't give any of those things to him. What did God give him? See, he was trained to operate the same way as God operates. God didn't have all the tools to create the universe. He said, let there be light. And light was. And all the other things. And they were all good. Adam was given no tools in the physical. He was just a spirit that had the life of God inside him to operate the way God operated, because he was created in the image of God. But when broke the law, when he started functioning in a different way, he broke the life connection, then the power wasn't there anymore. He was not able to access the spiritual dimension anymore. The life was gone, was dead from that point of view. But Jesus came to bring that life back. When you are born again, that life is back in you. You had to learn to use it. Jesus did. Jesus taught us how to. If you see this teaching and so on, you can see him functioning that way. You can see him doing. You know, he didn't call the meteorologist to stop the cloud. He said, peace. Are you following me? That's far too much for our mind to grasp. Okay? People start talking about this stuff this way and says, you know, what did you take? I took a portion of the word. Okay? I just read the word. You read the word and you start thinking that way. If you stop thinking the way, you know, if you see the difference between the way we think and what the Word says. See, that's what makes the difference. This is what releases the power of God. But, you know, to experience this, you had to abide in the Word. The way Jesus said. You know, John 8:31-32. Okay. But it's not just abide in the Word. You also have the Holy Spirit ministering to you, but the Holy Spirit is going to have the opportunities, because you are there open to listen. You are there seeking. And so there is an open ear to talk into. And so you're going to hear things because he's talking all the time anyways, because we are too busy listening to all the every other things. Praise the Lord. I think I gave you enough to think for this week. Praise the Lord. So, let's pray together. Let's pray together. You know, I mean, it doesn't make any good having information if we don't use the information. Application is what makes a difference. Knowing the word, you can have a PhD in theology and be not saved. You can be, you know, completely ignorant and manifest your salvation just because, simply believing in the word, because you're not brainwashed by the world. So the question is, you accept it, you believe it, you go with it. And so that's what we had to do. We had to exactly do the same. We're going to just pray and make a decision. You see, faith is a decision. It's a decision to do and to say and to believe what the Word of God says. To trust God. Praise the Lord. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for what you have done for us. I receive it today. I believe that your word is truth, that is spirit and is life. And I'm open to receive that life. And I'm open to receive that spirit. And I thank you that I know that is all powerful. Your word transforms me more and more like Jesus to get results the way he got, to get life working in me and be able to give it to others. Because that life that I have, I can share it with others, that they may receive it and manifest the same thing in them that I have myself. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I am grateful to you, and I praise you, and I worship you, and I declare that you are my Lord and my King. And I say that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.